Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Moving Forward in the Word of God. Hallelujah. So grateful, so thankful, and truly, truly, truly blessed to be with you this morning as we move forward. Hallelujah. Not going back, moving ahead. Folks love to throw your past up in your face. Remember when. Well, I would like to say, remember when the Lord saved me. And that's what we got to tell them when they want to bring up who you used to be. Remember when the Lord saved me. Did he save you? Has he saved you? Are you saved? Are you set free? Are you filled with the Holy Ghost? Those are the questions that you got to ask when someone's wants to throw your past in your face. Because the word of God tells us that God will not be mocked. Our Lord God will not be mocked. You know, and to paraphrase the words, you will reap what you sow. Don't let folks get you caught up in woulda, coulda, shoulda. Because we all could have done some things differently. We all should have done some things differently. But we didn't. But we are saved, set free by the Spirit of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. By his blood, we are made whole, the past. And we need to learn to leave the past in the past and move forward with God. Our word this morning comes from Galatians chapter 6, our title this morning. And it is paraphrased because the word of God tells us that we cannot mock God. Do not be deceived. It's a word. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever man sows, that he will also reap. What you reap, what you sow, you will reap. If you sow of the flesh, that's what you're going to get, flesh. If you sow of the spirit, you're going to get spirit. We got to understand God's word is true. The prophet Isaiah spoke and will be speaking again today. Because Isaiah broke it all down for us, gave us instructions, gave us prophecy, let us understand and know there's only one God. We need to get it right. Don't let folks deceive you, get you all off your square, you know, hearing this and hearing that. Facebook is not the Bible. I say it again. Facebook is not the Bible. What he said, she said, is not verily a true word. But what God says is what's true and what we need to learn and go by. We have been caught up in Facebook, caught up in Instagram, caught up in TikTok, caught up in everything but the word of God. And believe me when I say, God will not be mocked. So if all you're doing is running over to Facebook and TikTok and Instagram, and you going home and telling your family, well, this is what I read, and it's from this. What did God say to you? And this is my point. We are getting into flu season. This is my public service announcement. There are those that are going to choose, just like COVID shots, that they're not going to take them because they don't want to get the mark of the beast. And I like to say to those that believe that getting the vaccine, you are getting the mark of the beast. Where did you read that? Where is that in the word of God? Or did you hear somebody take the word of God and distort it? Because there's a whole lot of things that have to happen before the implementation of the mark of the beast. There will be some heads getting chopped off. There will be a whole lot of stuff on before the mark of the beast. And I'd just like to do, it's an analogy by Dick Gregory that I've just kind of changed a little bit. And that question is this. People are dying. You're dying from COVID, and they're wanting to offer you life-saving treatment. But you say, no, I'm not going to take it. God's going to save me. They come in. They have medication. Nah, I'm good. Not going to take it. God's going to save me. They come in with oxygen. Nope, I don't want that. I can't breathe, but I don't want that. God's going to save me. They come in with that ventilator to save your life. And you say, nope, God's going to save me. They've offered you a vaccine. It's going to save you. You get COVID. Don't want to take any of the life-saving medication. God's going to save you. You got COVID and they're getting ready to put you on a ventilator, but you don't want to be on a ventilator because God's going to save you. Then you stand before God and God said, I sent you a vaccine. I sent you life-saving medication. I sent them with the ventilator. Did you not think that maybe I sent all those things to save you? And I know that I'm causing controversy because there's a whole lot of anti-vaxxers out there who profess the Lord. I'm not talking about the ones that got Medicaid, got situations where they cannot take the vaccine. I'm not talking about the ones that God has given you a distinct edit not to take the vaccine. And I'm saying God. And you know who you are when God tells you. You know what to do. But understand our children are dying because we as adults are being deceived. We as adults have decided that we're going to do what we want to do and not what thus says the Lord. If God has said take that shot, then take the shot. If God says don't, then don't. You got to follow what God said. But I'm saying, don't have regrets because you put your child or your children or your grandchildren or your great-grandchildren or your neighbor's children in jeopardy for a reason. God gave us scientists for a reason. God gave us everything we need for a reason. Do not be deceived. God will not be mocked. If you sow deceptions, deceiving, lies, then that's what you will reap. All I say, I'm not going to tell anybody what to do. All I'm going to say is, do what God says to. But don't get deceived or caught up in that, oh, well, if I take this vaccine, I'm taking the mark of the beast. That's a lie. And that's a lie right from the pits of hell, because understand, the devil wants you dead. He wants you dead in your sin. He wants you dead in deception. He wants you dead. And above all, he wants our children. And we need to dip him in the bud quick and in a hurry. Get in a hurry. And I can only speak as a person who's had to deal with issues of not being able to breathe. And not asthma. It's bronchial tubes all messed up because of corn dust and all the things in the atmosphere. To admit, I felt the best I have ever felt in last year when folks got locked down and we're not out there spreading germs. I wore a mask. So for those that were out there spreading germs, I didn't get them. Not one trip to the doctor to get a shot to open up my bronchial tubes. Not one trip to the doctor because I was filled with nasal drip and all kind of issues. Not one trip to the doctor dealing with anything of breathing issues because people were locked down. I had to go to work because I'm essential. Thank you, God. You are all essential. Every one of us is essential to God, but listen to the voice of God. Don't listen to what he said, she said on TikTok, what he said, she said on Facebook, what he said, she said on Instagram. Read for yourself the word of God. And when you go to Revelation, when you read Isaiah, then make a decision on what you need to do. But don't let anybody tell you what God said when God didn't say that and he didn't say it in his word. Believe me when I tell you, you will know when the mark of the beast is coming. You will know when they stick that computer chip in your right hand in order to buy and to sell, because that's what's going to happen. It's going to be a shot in the arm because that's not what the word of God says. The word of God is true. It tells you exactly where the mark of the beast will go. And it's not in your right arm. It's not in your left arm. It's on your head and it's on your right hand. Look it up and read the word. And that's my commentary for this morning. because I'm going to have to, I had to tell you what God said to me. Tell him the truth. Tell him the truth. Don't get caught up in the world, family. As you reap what you sow, if you're sowing lies and deception, if you're being deceitful, if you're not doing what's right, God will mess you up because he will not be mocked. And he is not a deceiver. Father God in heaven, I thank you for your mighty word this morning. I thank you for your grace, your mercy toward each and every one of us, morning by morning, new mercies we see, Father God. We thank you, Lord God, that you have given us breath in our body and minds to think, Lord God. Help us to know that there is no God but you, that no one is in charge of death and life but you. Tongue can create deception, to create death, because the power of death and life is in this little membrane behind our teeth. Father God, I speak life over my family. I speak life over my brothers and my sisters in Christ. I speak life over our nations. I speak life over this world, Lord God. I speak clean air and drinking water. I speak beautiful those in my front yard, and I thank you, Father, and sit in my yard at night because they feel the peace that only you can bring in my yard. I thank you, Lord, that you have given the birds of the air fruit to eat. You have given each and every one of us everything we need. All we have to do is ask. Father God, I ask today that someone will be saved from your word, that someone will leave this broadcast different than when they came, loving you more because your word has spoken to their heart. Lord God, give me eyes to see and ears to hear and a voice to continue speaking your word, not mine, but yours. Father God, I pray for your increase as I decrease. I ask for discernment and understanding of the word, Lord God. Let it permeate my heart, my mind, and my spirit. For again, Father God, I thank you for this day, for this do-over, and ask you, Lord God, to speak through me, to let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my humble, humble heart, Father God, be acceptable in your holy sight. For you, Daddy God, are my strength, and you are my redeemer. And I lift up this word. I lift it up to the throne of grace and ask you to guide us through it. And lead us through it and help us again, Father God, to understand it. In Jesus' holy and precious name, amen. Whew, giving honor to our Father God, who is the source of my strength and the strength of my life. And today we're going to be a little bit different. We're going to start in Psalms and then Proverbs, and then we will go to Isaiah. And then from Isaiah, we will to our New Testament word. And our psalm this morning is coming out of Psalms 111, verses 7 through 10. And it says this, the works of his hands are verity and justice. Again, the works of his hand are verity and justice. All his precepts are sure. What did it say? All his precepts are sure. They stand fast forever and ever and are done in truth and uprightness. He has sent redemption to his people. He has commanded his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. Not my name, not anybody's name, but the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Can I say that again? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all those who do his commandments. His praise endures forever. Not do my commandments, not do Sister Susie's commandments, but God's commandments. And then the proverb word is one that we all need to see and to understand. As a dog returns to its own vomit. So you've heard people say that, as a dog returns to its own vomit, so a fool repeats his folly. And you may hear paraphrase, you know, as a dog returns to his vomit, so is a fool that keeps doing the same dumb stuff over and over. And it says, do you see a man wise in his own eyes? We see it all the time. There is more hope for a fool than for him. Again, the earth is not flat. There are folks out there talking about the earth is flat. No, it's not. How many times have you gone to the NASA website and looked from the stars, from the space station on earth? It is not flat. The other morning, I took a picture because I like taking pictures of the sky and the sun and the moon and Venus and all the different things that are out there. And the other morning, I took this picture, and even now it still is something about it that is like, whoa, that's different. And I took the picture, and it was like a sunlight burst, and, you know, there was like a big white cloud that went through the sun. You could see the sun shining, but underneath there was something that just didn't look right. And as I'm looking at it, it's like I can see the sun, and there's like a big cloud that comes through it. And the sun, you know, it's like looks like almost, I thought it was going to be a cross because I had gotten a cross picture, and the sky gets crosses all the time. God just shows me crosses in the sky. And there's sometimes crosses above my house and, you know, across the street from where I live. And, you know, I just like taking pictures. But I took this picture, and it looks like a cloud is going through, which kind of gives it a cross look. But underneath, there's like the sun, and you can see it because the sun was coming up over the trees. But there's like a green dot. And I thought, well, maybe that it was from my camera. But then when I did a blow-up of it, it looks like an eclipse. It's like white with green in it. And then you see like a cloud that's like, it looks like it's a shooting star going above it. And so anyway, I'll post it on my Twitter and my Facebook because I'm just wondering, you know, what is this green planet-looking thing on this picture? So just to let you know, we don't know what God has planned. We don't know what's out there. We just got to keep trusting God. This word that comes out of Psalms 110 and 10 says, a good understanding of all those who do his commandment. So I don't understand what that green dot is out in the atmosphere, but I do understand that I got to follow the commandments of God. And this is what Dr. Stanley says. The more we strive by God's spirit to obey God's commandments, the more understanding he gives us to his word. Jesus said, if anyone wills to do his will, he shall know concerning the doctrine. John 7 and 17. And I'm a firm believer that you need to get things in context. So we're going to go to John 7 and 17. Quickly, so that we can get into our New Testament and Old Testament word. And it just says this in John, and it says Jesus and his brothers. There's nothing like Bibles. I love Bibles. I love reading them and studying them and looking at different ones and different interpretations, I should say. But I do love the King James Version. I will say that. And the reason why I read New King James is because it's easier to understand for those that are just hearing the Word of God. So to my King James readers, King James, New King James is also the closest for you to be able to also follow in the Word. But I'm coming out of King James, and this is John chapter 7, verse 17. And it says this, let's get it in context. Jesus, the light of the world, starting at verse 12, it says, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The Pharisees therefore said unto him, thou bearest record of thyself, thy recorded not is not true. Jesus answered and said unto them, though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true, for I know whence I came and whither I go. But ye cannot tell whence I came and whither I go. Ye judge after the flesh. I judge no man. And yet if I judge, my judgment is true. For I am, there it is, I am not alone, but I and the Father that sent me. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. The testimony of two men is true. A good understanding have all those who do his commandment, praising God. But where two or three gather in his name, he will be in the midst, for his word is true. We are gathering in his name, and he is in the midst. All we have to do is believe. Father God, we thank you for your presence. May your word come alive in our minds, in our hearts, and in our spirits. We got to pray continuously and meditate on the word day and night. And this is what Isaiah 47, verses 1 through 48, 22. And it says, come down and sit in the dust, O virgin daughter of Babylon. Sit on the ground without a throne, O daughter of the Chaldeans. For you shall no more be called tender and delicate. The millstones and grind meal, remove your veil. Take off the skirt, uncover the thigh, pass through the rivers. Your nakedness shall be uncovered. Yes, your shame will be seen. I will take vengeance, and I will not arbitrate with a man. As for our Redeemer, the Lord of hosts is his name, the Holy One of Israel. Set in silence and go into darkness, O daughter of the Chaldeans, for you shall no longer be called the Lady of Kingdoms. I was angry with my people. I have profaned my inheritance and given them into your hand. You show them no mercy. On the elderly, you laid your yoke very heavily. And you said, I shall be a lady forever, so that you did not take these things to heart, nor remember the latter end of time. Therefore, hear this now, you who are given to pleasure, who dwell securely, who say in your heart, I am, and there is no one else besides me. I shall not sit as a widow, nor shall I know the loss of children. But these two things shall come to you in a moment, in one day, the loss of children and widowhood. They shall come upon you in their fullness. Because of the multitude of your sorceries, for the great abundance of your enchantment. For you have trusted in your wickedness. You have said, no one sees me. Your wisdom and your knowledge have warped you. And you have said in your heart, I am, and there is no one else besides me. Therefore, evil shall come upon you. You shall not know from where it arises. And trouble shall fall upon you. You will not be able to put it off. And desolation shall come upon you suddenly which you shall not know. Stand now with your enchantments and the multitude of your sorceries in which you have labored from your youth. Perhaps you will be able to profit. Perhaps you will prevail. You are wearied in the multitude of your counsels. Let now the astrologers, the stargazers, and the monthly protagonists and save you from what shall come upon you. Behold, they shall be as stubble. The fire shall burn them. They shall not deliver themselves from the power of the flame. It shall not be a coal to be warmed by, nor a fire to sit before. Thus shall they be to you, with whom you have labored, your merchants from your youth. They shall wander each one to his quarter. No one shall save you. And understand that he's letting the children know that they were going to go into bondage to Babylon, and that Babylon would not treat them well. But he also let the Babylonians know, don't think you're getting away with anything mistreating the people of God. Let's continue. And then he's talking now to the children of Israel. He's talking to Babylon, now he's talking to the children of Israel. Hear this, O house of Jacob, who are called by the name of Israel and have come forth from the wellsprings of Judah, who swear by the name of the Lord and make mention of God of Israel, but not in truth or in righteousness, for they call themselves after the holy city and lean on the God of Israel. The Lord of hosts is his name. I've declared the former things from the beginning. They went forth from my mouth, and I caused them to hear it. Suddenly I did them, and they came to pass, because I knew that you were obstinate, and your neck was an iron swing, and your brow bronze. Even from the beginning I have declared it to you. Before it came to pass, I proclaimed it to you. Lest you should say, my idol has done them, and my carved image and my molded image have commanded them. Isaiah just described the children of Israel. You have heard, see all this, and will you not declare it? I have made you hear new things from this time, even hidden things, and you did not know them. They are created now and not from the beginning. And before this day, you have not heard them, lest you should say, of course I knew them. Surely you did not hear. Surely you did not know. Surely from long ago, your ear was not open. For I knew that you would deal very treacherously and were called a transgressor from the womb. For my namesake, I will defer my anger, and for my praise, I will restrain it from you, so that I do not cut you off. Behold, I have refined you, but not as silver. I have tested you in the furnace of affliction. For my own sake, for my own sake, I will do it. And how should my name be profaned, and I will not give my glory to another? Listen to me, O Jacob, and Israel, my called. I am he. I am the first. I am also the last. Indeed, my hand has laid the foundation of the earth, and my right hand has stretched out the heavens. When I call to them, they stand up together. All of you, assemble yourselves and hear. Who among them has declared these things? The Lord loves him. He shall do his pleasure on Babylon, and his arm shall be against the Chaldeans. I have spoken. Yes, I have called him. I have brought him his way. Well, prosper. Again, I brought him, and his way will prosper. Come near to me. Hear this. I have spoken in secret from the beginning. From the time that it was, I was there. There is no God but one God, and he will not be mocked. And now the Lord God and his Spirit have sent me We understand we're talking about Jesus. Even in the Old Testament, Isaiah kept telling us about the Savior. Thus says the Lord your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord your God, who teaches you to profit, who leads you by the way you should go. Oh, that you had heeded my commandments. Then your peace would have been like a river, and your righteousness like the waves of the sea. Your descendants also would have been like the sand, and the offspring of your body like the grains of sand. His name would not have been cut off nor destroyed from before me. From Babylon, flee from the Chaldeans with a voice of singing. Declare, proclaim this, utter it to the end of the earth. Say, the Lord has redeemed his servant Jacob. And they did not thirst when he laid them through the desert. He caused the waters to flow from the rock for them. He also split the rock and the waters gushed out. There is no peace, says the Lord, for the wicked. Better get it. There's no peace for the wicked. And some life lessons from Isaiah chapter 48. And it says, for my praise I will restrain it from you so that I do not cut you off. Oh, our salvation to the love and grace of God. This is what Dr. Stanley's saying. And I'm 100 in agreement. We owe our salvation to the love and grace of God and not to anything else. God saved us for his name's sake, not because we deserve it or we somehow worth more than the Son who died for us. We are not worth more than the Savior, but he gave his life for us. Are we willing to stand up and say, yes, I am a Christian and I love God? And it don't matter where you are. Don't be afraid to say, yes, I am a Christian and yes, I love God. And yes, I believe in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I know that he died for me. I know he saved my life. Who do we belong to? We are children of God. And we need to act like it. I am saying this in love. But Christians can be hateful. Christians can be hateful, judgmental, hypocrites who say one thing and do something else, who say they love God but talk about the homeless, who say they love God but will not help anybody if it doesn't benefit them. Talk about how much we are pro-life. But once the child is here, we talk about the mama like a dog. Why she got all them kids making fun? Because I work for my money. Why I got to help her take care of those kids? Did you just not say you are pro-life? Are you pro-life or are you pro-fetus? Pro-life, then life is life. Life is life for the good. Life is life for the bad. Life is life for the ugly. If you say you're pro-life, then why are you hollering about the death penalty and how this person or that person needs to die? Life is life. If you say you're for life, then why are you talking about the folks at the border and how horrible it is, but yet I don't want them in my country? Oh, life is life. Oh, but I don't want them in my neighborhood. Life is life, but no, I ain't got time for all of that. Yeah, you had them kids. You need to take care of them kids yourself. I don't know why my government dollars have got to pay for child care. Why do I have to pay for child care? I didn't have them babies. I don't have any kids. Why I got to pay for the school taxes? They costing me all kind of money and my property tax. Why I got to do that? But yet you claim to be pro-life. God will not be mocked. we have to love each other. We have to love our brothers and sisters. And yes, sometimes you got to carry their burdens. As the word of God says in Isaiah 48 and 17, I am the Lord your God who teaches you to profit, who leads you by the way you should go. This is what Dr. Stanley says. God may sometimes lead you into tight spots and difficult circumstances. But wherever he guides you, he does it to do you good in the end. And we're going to go over to Mark chapter 6. Well, actually, no, we're not. We're going to go to Galatians chapter 6. If time permits, we'll go back and try to look at that Mark word, but we got to go to our main word this morning because I don't want to run out of time for our title word this morning. And it says this. Please join me in Galatians chapter 6. And yesterday we were in Galatians chapter 5 and we talked about the fruit of the Spirit. We also talked about the things that were wicked and that were not the fruit of the Spirit. And the first one was adultery. God is watching everything. Don't play with God. And this is what it says in chapter 6. The title is Fulfilling the Law of Christ. Fulfilling the Law of Christ. And this is how we fulfill the law of Christ. And it says this, brother, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. Considering yourself lest you also be tempted. Then it goes on to tell us, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. But if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For each one shall bear his own load. Let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived, and this is the title of our word this morning. God is not mocked, but whatever man sows, that he also reap. Whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. You reap what you sow. To paraphrase, that word is, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. And to paraphrase it, you reap what you sow. But he who sows to his flesh will be of flesh. But he who sows to the Spirit will be of the Spirit, reaping everlasting life. And I'm going to read it again because this is our word for this morning. And it's on point. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. But whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. But he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. We want to reap everlasting life. I want to see Jesus. I want to be able to go through the narrow gate. I want to be saved, set free, filled with the Holy Spirit, being able to run and not get weary. Ooh, hallelujah. And it goes on to tell us in verse 9, and let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due season, we shall reap if we do not lose heart. And we're going to go over to King James because this is a King James word. And it says in King James, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such in one, in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own works, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit. Ooh, hallelujah. Told y'all it was a great word this morning. Reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. We got to treat each other as sisters and brothers in the faith. We got to do right. Lift up, don't tear down. Ask and lead. We are not God, and God will not be mocked. Don't play with God's people. Don't deceive God's people, but you will sow. You will reap what you sow. And it says if you sow corruption, that's what you're going to reap. But it says flesh, corruption, spirit, everlasting life. Don't get all fleshly. Guide you in the spirit. And this is what the word God says. See with what large letters I have written to you with my own hand, and this is Paul speaking. We're in a new section, and it says this, Paul's personal benediction. As many as desire to make a good showing in the flesh, these would compel you to be circumcised. We talked about circumcision the other day. Only that they may not suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For not even those who are circumcised keep the law, but they desire to have you circumcised at they may boast in your flesh. But God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm saying that again. But God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. But in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avail, but a new creation. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God. From now on, let no one trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Be with your spirit. Amen. And again, whew, brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. Brother Paul has spoken this morning. And if we go into some life lessons, this is what it says, bearing one another's burdens. And it says this in Galatians 6 and 2, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. No maturing Christian, this is what Dr. Stanley said, can ever say, I don't need the church, because Jesus tells us that we all have work to do in the church. We cannot carry the burden of those we have nothing to do with. And I speak to you. I was one of those Christians who left the church because I was heartbroken. I saw too much and it bothered, it vexed my spirit. But instead of finding another church, I was caught up in indoctrine, fill in the blank. I'm not the only one. I'm a Baptist. I'm a Methodist. I'm an AME. I'm an Episcopalian. I'm a Presbyterian. I'm from the Kojic Church. I'm from the living, the Church of the Living God. I'm this, I'm that, denominational nonsense. So I wouldn't go to another church because it wasn't my denomination. But I was upset. And all it was the enemy knocking me off my square into darkness. And I didn't know it. And I say this, don't be deceived. And that's what it says, do not be deceived, Galatians 6 and 7. Paul often uses the phrase, do not be deceived, probably because so many of us are. He wants to remind us that our actions always have a consequence, either for good or for bad. To think otherwise is to be deceived. Everything we do has a consequence. If you don't save and you have a rainy season and you need money and you don't have any, you didn't save. You're reaping what you sowed. We have to save. You have to have life insurance. And I don't know where that came from. Okay, God. And I'm saying this. We can't keep doing GoFundMes for funerals because we didn't have life insurance on our loved one. You got to have life insurance. You have to have a house. You have to have some place to live. So you pay your rent. You need heat and you need water. So you pay your utility bill. And if you're looking for a position, you need a phone. So you pay your phone bill. And you know one day you're going to die. You don't want to leave the burden of having to bury you on your children. Get some life insurance. Don't be deceived. Too many folks are dying. And their families are suffering because they didn't have life insurance. I didn't have enough. Funerals are expensive. And in the thousands of dollars. And the $255 you get from Social Security cannot bury even a dog. And I know because I have had two dogs that I have had cremated. And believe me, it was more than $255. Get life insurance. Galatians 6 and 15. In Christ Jesus, neither circumcision or uncircumcision avail anything but a new creation. God intends to make us into a totally new people, not by tinkering with different kinds of religious rituals or by trying to reform our behavior, but by changing us through his spirit into the likeness of Christ. Hallelujah. Don't be deceived, family. And it says this, do not be deceived. God is not mocked, but whatever a man sows, that he also reap. But what you sow, you will reap. You reap what you sow. To sow the spirit of Christ Jesus, then you got to act it. You got to love your brothers and your sisters, not just talk about it. You got to do what you need to do to help others, not because you're trying to get some earthly reward, but because it's just the right thing to do. Bearing one another's burdens, it says this, and this is all I have today from Dr. Stanley. And he says, many people object to the idea of accountability because they don't see how other people's actions are any of their business. Mind your business. Just mind your business. But the Bible says that we in the body of Christ all have a responsibility to one another. Paul taught that if a believer is caught in sin, the strong members of the church are to help shoulder the responsibility of that person's sin. They are to work with the sinner to help him get back on track. Just read that in verses 1 through 3. This implies that our sin is other people's business, and conversely, their sin becomes part of our responsibility. Nowhere in Scripture are we told that our sin is something just between us and God. You hear that? My situation is between me and God. I don't know why y'all up in my business. Nowhere in Scripture are we told our sin is something that's just between us and God. A woman in our church in Miami, this is Pastor Stanley speaking, married for only a short time when her husband revealed his homosexuality. Soon afterwards, he left her to be with his lover. She told me something I shall never forget. After I was divorced, she said, several of my friends came to me and said they knew he was gay before we married. When I asked them why they didn't say anything, they replied, we didn't think it was any of our business. After hearing her story, I made up my mind never to stand by quietly and watch a friend make what I felt sure was a mistake. This resolution occasionally makes me very unpopular. People have left the church over things I have confronted them about. But when I start thinking that maybe I should keep my mouth shut, I always remember Solomon's words, he who rebukes a man will find more favor afterwards than he who flatters with the tongue. Proverbs 28 and 23. It amazes me how often people come back to me or write letters to apologize for their reaction to my warnings. More often than not, they admit that they should have listened. Remember this in an accountability relationship. You are not responsible for how the other person responds to you, but you are responsible to tell the truth and then continue to love that person through the process. And I believe that's a word for all of us. We all talk about what we see, but we don't speak up. And understanding, when we speak up, we may lose a friend. But if they are our true friend, they will come back. We got to start speaking up, so that our friends and our family are not deceived, that our pastors and our leaders are not deceived, because God will not be mocked. That is our word for this morning, and as Paul says, brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Be with your spirit. Amen. And may the Lord watch between me and thee, while we are absent one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours, family. Have a blessed and wonderful day. And know that God is with you wherever you go. Don't be deceived. God will not be mocked. And before we get out of here, a quick word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn. When you can't see the light at the end of the tunnel, turn to the light of the world. God will make a way out of no way. Have a faith-filled day. Have a trust in God Tuesday, family. And as Sister Carolyn said, have a terrific Tuesday. But I say have a trust in God Tuesday. And know that God has got your back. He's got you from the crown of your head to the sole of your feet. Trust God. Speak what he tells you to speak. And if he says keep your tongue behind your teeth, keep your tongue behind your teeth. Keep God first in all that you do and watch him work through you. Have a blessed day, family. It is a wrap. Whew. Be blessed.